Wednesday, January 27th, 2016. This is the Sales Playbook Podcast. I am your host, Paul Castain, from YourSalesPlaybook.com, and this is the podcast for sales reps, sales leaders, and business owners who want to sell more. Now, this week, we're going to talk about the absolute, like, all caps, best time management advice I have ever been given. So let me say that again. This week, we're going to talk about the absolute, all caps, best time management advice that, like, I was ever given. So now, before we begin, I want to remember my manners and do something that we haven't done in, like, the longest time. I'm thinking it's, like, well over a year. But I want to do a quick shout-out. Now, for those of you who don't know what a shout-out is, and I don't blame you if you don't know what one is, because I haven't done it, like, in forever. A shout-out is when I simply acknowledge someone who is kind enough to stop by iTunes, leave us a nice review and a 5-star rating. And since the person didn't leave their name, all I have is the handle that they used over on iTunes. And this goes out to Knowledge Sponge. So, and by the way, whoever the hell you are, Knowledge Sponge, if you shoot me an email and reveal yourself, I promise you that we'll make sure that we reveal your true identity to the Sales Playbook community. But in the meantime, I want to tell you what Knowledge Sponge was nice enough to write. The podcast offers practical insight into sales, specifically the mindset, process, and strategy of being successful. So I want to make sure that I thank you, Knowledge Sponge, for taking time out of your busy day to share a few kind words. And I also want to ask of the Sales Playbook community here, which, like, I mean, seriously, I don't want to sound like that person hitting you up for a loan who says, I never ask you for anything. But seriously, it's very rare that I ask you guys for something. I need something from you. If you've been finding a lot of value in these podcasts, and you find that I've been delivering and giving you the things you need to be more successful, would you please go back to my website? And if you go to yoursalesplaybook.com/140, yoursalesplaybook.com/140, because this is episode 140, believe it or not, I'll have just real simple instructions how you can leave a review. I promise you, it just takes like less than 2 minutes to do. But you would be doing me a tremendous favor, not so that I could win some like middle schoolish type of popularity contest with all these like reviews I'm trying to accumulate, but actually you're going to be helping your fellow sales reps. And here's how. I'm sure you realize that on iTunes, it's a search engine. It's a very powerful search engine. And when people are like typing in things like, you know, sales podcasts and things like that, that they want to learn more about those things, they rank on popularity and they rank and they want to show people the things where everyone else is saying, wow, this kicks ass. So when you do that, you're enabling other people to find this podcast. So to me, it's like the equivalent of, you know, throwing a few bucks in the tip jar. So it would just be a tremendous favor. So thank you in advance for that. But now we're like a few minutes into this podcast and I'm doing something like I freaking hate when other podcasters do. And like we're kind of dicking around and not getting down like to the point here. So let's get down to business. The best time management advice that I was ever given, that's going to be the topic today. I'm going to tell you that it's simple, perhaps too simple. And if you guys are like me, and I think a lot, the reason why we get along and like to hang out like this is because a lot of us were like, God help us, I know. But when you hear this advice, if you're like me, you're probably going to immediately think, oh man, I could never do that. It's going to make you uncomfortable. And yet, when I tell you how to do it, so in other words, don't dismiss this when I tell you what. Hang out with me long enough to learn the how. But once you learn how to go about doing this, I'm going to tell you that you're going to save a tremendous amount of time. You're going to liberate chunks of time from your day to day. And we all know that adds up. And quite frankly, I believe that you're going to wish that you were doing this for years. Because that's how I felt once I started doing this. So anyway, you ready? Here it is. And don't go running off when you hear what it is and just say, I can't do that. All right? We got to do like a pinky promise here. Learn how and when to say no more often. Let me say it again. Learn how and when to say no more often, right? Learn how to say no to people. So I'm going to give you the first example of where I think all of us could stand to get better. You ready? And I know this is going to strike a chord with a lot of people. The first opportunity, it comes in the form of unnecessary meetings that we find ourselves agreeing to. You guys, you know, on the same page with me with that as far as like, I mean, don't you just love it when you're like in meeting after meeting and you're saying, man, this was an email. This was like, you know, a memo, right? I mean, this was like, you know, something like we could have read on the TPS report. And now here we are just missing valuable time that could be spent doing some other things. So what do you do? And also, too, before I tell you what to do, I just want to be clear on something. And I know this is silly, but forgive me, my podcast. I just want to define what I mean by a meeting. A meeting can be either a face-to-face type of meeting, or someone needs you to block out some time to like Skype and you know, like, or a conference call or something like that, maybe even a WebEx, and it's just unnecessary. So what do you do? How do you get out of it without coming across like an asshole? Right? I mean, that's really what we're talking about here. So the very first thing that I want you to do is, and probably you're going to get approached through like email for this. Wouldn't you agree? So what you want to do is obviously respond to the email, and you're going to like say something along these lines. And you guys have to like put this into your own words. I'm not big on scripts, if you didn't know that already. I think that you should get an idea and make it your own. So here's the concept. You guys make it your own. But here's what I say. I'll shoot an email back to someone, and I'll say, can you shoot me a quick email with the questions that you have and anything else that you'd like to cover if we're able to schedule a meeting? So again, the thought is this. Can you shoot me a quick email with all of your questions and anything else that you'd like to cover if we could schedule some kind of a meeting? So now what happens next is a few things. Number one, they might, I wouldn't hold your breath on this. They might select themselves out at that point. Like, in other words, what you're doing is you're playing hot potato. So now you're kind of making them work a little bit more for that meeting. And again, we're not doing this for the sake of being an asshole. We're not doing this to kind of alienate ourselves from everyone and, you know, like, just like make it difficult for our clients. But, you know, we're all big boys and girls here. We know when something is just starting to smell like something that's unnecessary. So before we go giving it up, giving up our time, right? Because it's like, I can't get it back. We have to go through a little bit of a process. So they may select themselves out and just not get back to you and just kind of like, we fixed the glitch, right? The glitch has been fixed. But don't count on that. So now, let's just say they respond back and they, you know, throw a few of the questions that they have. Now what you can do, you could just simply answer the email if it's quicker, or if it's like, you know, sometimes it just makes more sense instead of scheduling a meeting or, you know, writing some kind of a War and Peace answer, pick up the phone in that moment and call them. Now, if it's a coworker in the building, and that happens a lot, go see them, like right in that moment. Just go, like right to them if it makes the most sense and get it off your plate. If it's something that you can just like very, very quickly just go over and, you know, in 90 seconds, you could just kind of answer it and boom, we're done. No need for a big major meeting and blocking out portions of the day. And you guys all know that it's not just a matter of just like blocking out some time during the day. There's, you know, you lose more time. It just seems to work out that way. Now, here's a really cool tip, if I might say so myself, because it's mine. I mean, I think I pioneered this technique. And then watch, all you guys now suddenly going to start emailing me. I never hear from you guys, but now you're going to call me out and say, no, I invented this technique, Castain. But anyway, I'm going to patent it just to kind of just really screw you guys over. But anyway, if you're dealing with someone who is rather chatty and you realize that, well, instead of a meeting and instead of an email, I'm going to just call them. But, you know, I'm hesitant because, you know, that kind of person that, like, every time you get on the phone with them, it's a simple thing, and it really should have been, like, 3 minutes, and it's 45 minutes. And it's just they're going on and on and on and on and on and on and on. So when you have someone who's really chatty like that, if you're a person who has windshield time, and most of us in sales, we have windshield time, my advice to you would be to call them during your windshield time because they're going to hear that you're in the car, and you can now start that conversation off with, hey, received your email. I wanted to give you a quick call. I hope you don't mind. I don't want you to think I'm cutting you short, but I'm about 5 minutes out from my appointment, and I may have to cut this short, but I definitely wanted to respond to you. So that's something else that you can do. Now, if you're a person who leads a sales team or any kind of a leader, you're going to appreciate this next bit of advice, especially when it comes to like just like all the meetings and stuff that we have in leadership. And again, I want to be very clear. We're not doing this for the sake of being an asshole. We're not doing this to be difficult. We're not doing this so that we ignore our team. But what you might want to do is designate some time, like a block of time, when people, like especially if it's a recurring thing that people usually need to meet with you over, you could have just a block of time and let your team know that during this time, you know, I'm always available to you, but during this time, I'll be in the office from 7. In fact, I've done this with several of the teams I've managed. What I told them was, and it came to proposals, all the teams that I've managed, not that I wanted to be a micromanager, but it was more of a company policy where the company wanted me to sign off on the pricing and everything else before they submitted it in to have it typed and everything else. So nothing really could go out without that senior management approval type of thing. I'm sure many of you deal with the same thing too. So what I did with my team was I said to them, every morning, because we were just doing tons of proposals, from 7:30 a.m. until 9 a.m., I'll be in the office, I'll review proposals, and I'll be happy to talk to you about it then. Now, what I also said to them, because I didn't want to seem difficult, because right away, some of you now who are out there in the trenches saying, yeah, that's horrible, Paul, because, you know, what if I have an emergency and everything else? Well, this is what I said to my team, and this is something if you're in a leadership position, you could say to your team, if an emergency comes up, I'm going to do my best to accommodate you, and I'll be happy to, you know, to offer a plan B, but just so long as every proposal isn't an emergency, because, you know, God bless, you know, like sales teams and salespeople and all that. But I also notice that sometimes like everything becomes this big drama event. And yeah, it's really important that we get a proposal out, but, you know, we don't always have to stop what we're doing. Right? It doesn't have to be in that moment. I mean, you know, God forbid, instead of, you know, between 7:30 and 9, that, you know, I have to get to it later in the day or whatever. Meanwhile, you know damn well the other people that, you know, the people that asked for the proposal, they don't need it until like next week or something like that. So, you know, I think you have to have that kind of relationship. So that is the first situation, unnecessary meetings. The other situation where we need to say no is, are you ready for this? You're going to love this one because I know for a fact that all of us are in this one together. How about saying no to any situation where, you know, that if you don't say no, that later on you're going to regret that you didn't say no. So let me say it again because that was kind of a mouthful there. Any situation where you know that if you don't say no, that later on you're going to be like, why the hell didn't I just say no in the beginning? Like, you remember that old slogan, just say no? So let me give you some scenarios. It could be unnecessary administrative work. I'm going to give you an example of it. And again, this is kind of a bizarre example. I can't imagine that you guys have this situation because it's a rather unique thing because I manage a LinkedIn group. But I think the technique still holds true and it can be carried out through other things. So I manage a LinkedIn group and it's not what I would call one of my money activities. I do it because it's something that makes me feel good. I think that we need a forum for sales professionals and sales leadership and everything. And I have this group on LinkedIn. And if you guys haven't stopped by, please do come by. And it's called Sales Playbook. Isn't that original? It's called Sales Playbook. So so we have about 53, almost 54,000 members now. And recently I had somebody approach me, and they were running into some difficulty posting in my group. And I couldn't even find their name in my group. So, like, you know, obviously, you know, something was up, whatever. And I said, hey, listen, you know, I responded back to them right away. And I said, listen, it's not something I can control. You really are going to need to take it up with LinkedIn's customer support team. And again, not to bash LinkedIn, but maybe their customer support team has come a long way, but they are not the most responsive, and they're not very, very good on the service end, which is why I don't do anything paid with them anymore, by the way. So that, I guess that is bad mouthing, but it just, it kind of is the way it is. So I told them, I said, but just be prepared. It may take you a little while. So about a week or 10 days later, I get a response saying, yeah, I went to them and everything, and you know, they want you to call them and, you know, get in touch with them and, you know, schedule a call with them. Now, again, I want to be very, very clear. It's not my role in life to be the asshole or to be an idiot or to be difficult with people. But this is not a money activity for me. This is not a paid gig for me. This is something that I do. I don't have the time to get on the phone with the LinkedIn people. Plus, I also try to avoid things that I know are going to result in me wanting to put my fist into a wall. And that's what usually happens when I speak to the support team there. They just frustrate me. And, you know, and part of that's me. Maybe I need to start taking meds again or something. I don't know. But it's just something I like to avoid. And so, you know, in the past, the younger, thinner, less bald, because, like, I'm completely bald now, if you guys didn't know that, with the head shaved. You know, back in the day, I would have, you know, okay, right? And next thing you know, I'm agreeing to another thing. That later on, I would have been like, why the hell did I say yes? You have to have situations like that. And it's not necessarily going to be a LinkedIn thing, but you have to have that kind of stuff going on in your world. So that's one of the things that could be. It could be taking on a project that you really don't have the time to do. Right? So things like that. So let me tell you what not to do. And then I'm going to tell you how I handle this, because it's going to blow your mind how simple it is. But what you don't want to do is do, and we'll call him Ken, because that's what his name was. It might still be Ken, for all I know, unless he changed it. But a long, long time ago, back when I was in the printing industry, selling printing, managing, actually, I owned a printing company a long, long time ago. I went to see a particular supplier. And again, I'm going to say this very generally because I really don't want to turn this into a bashing episode. And went to see a supplier, and we had this really big project. And the project was about $150,000 that we would, not the total project, but what this person's cut was going to be, $150,000. And by the way, that's a lot of money now. This was like 20 years ago, so it was even more money. So anyway, went to see this person, and you know, it was kind of an involved thing, so we need to kind of talk face-to-face. We sat there, we talked about it, and there was a lot of little moving parts to this project and everything else. So, and there was a lot of promises that this person was making to me. Now, I never did this with this person before, but I said, hey, listen, you know, I'm awfully sorry if this is putting you out, but I need you to do something for me. All these promises that you just made me, whether, I don't care how you do it. I don't care if you want to do it as a proposal or in the body, informally, you know, in the body of an email or whatever you want to do. I just need you to put it in writing because, you know, yeah, I own the joint, but for me to write a check for $150,000, I just need to make sure that there's nothing here left to interpretation. And you know what the guy said to me? Just, I am not taking any creative license here. He looks right at me, and he goes, no. And there was a pregnant pause, because you guys know me. I like to kid around, and I thought he was yanking my chain. So I looked at him, and he just, you know, I don't know if, like, we were going into, like, the silent close thing. And, you know, I guess I decided to lose, and I figured, I said, no. He goes, yeah, I don't know. You heard me correctly. I don't have the time for that. And I looked at him again, And he's almost giving me a look like almost like, you know, anytime you want to, you know, get what I'm saying, Forrest, right? Like, just like looking at me. He did everything but pat me on the head, right? And I'm like sitting there and I was like, okay, right? So, you know, I don't need to give you the details, you know, of what happened after that. I mean, it resulted in me leaving and giving his competitor $150,000. But now there's an example of somebody being a dick for the sake of being a dick. Right? There is no reason to do something like that. I don't want to turn you into that guy. And I'm not saying we should go doing that. And I bet you that he felt really good about saying that to me. And I bet you he felt like really good telling that story. There's no doubt that that was a story that he told for years and years and years. Or maybe not. Maybe he realized when I didn't come back that, with anything after that, by the way, that, he kind of, you know, was being a bit of an ass. But, so we don't want to do that. So it's really in how you say it to people. So very simply, and by the way, if you want a better way to say what I'm about to say, get the 4-Hour Work Week from Tim Ferriss. And many of us, we've read it already. I think that's one of those books you got to like reread a few times, because you're, as well as any kind of like really good read like that, because what you get out of it the first time is going to be directly related to what you're going through and your roles and your role and responsibility and everything else. And, you know, here it is a few years later for many of us, and you're going to get new takeaways from it. Or you might, especially a book like that that has so many takeaways in it, you might say, oh my gosh, I didn't even realize that. Like the first, you know, one or two times I read the book. So it's going to be good for you. But anyway, Tim Ferriss says no a lot better than I could ever say it. But here's the gist of it, is I would just simply say to people, and I do this almost every day, unfortunately, I'll say, unfortunately, I have to decline. I am awfully sorry. That's it. So let me say it again. Unfortunately, I have to decline. I'm awfully sorry. I don't put any more than that in there. I don't. And my reason is I found that the more that I try to over-explain that, it's like the more I'm giving them on a platter to come back at me, and now I'm spending time in either an email pissing contest or verbally justifying something that I just said. I like to just break it down to just its basic core to not only save me time in saying it, but just remove any opportunity for us now to, oh, what do you mean? What were you saying here? It's like, to me, it's guerrilla warfare. I want to get in and I want to get out. So again, the statement that I would recommend, and you could either, you know, see what Tim Ferriss has to say about this or find your own way to do it. But the gist is, unfortunately, I have to decline. I'm awfully sorry. So now let's talk about another situation. So another situation where we need to get better at saying no is when someone touches on something that you've labeled as out of bounds. So I want to say this again, and then I'm going to do some splaining, as my good friend Ricky Ricardo used to say. So a really good situation where we have to get better at saying no is when somebody touches on something or asks you to do something that you've labeled as out of bounds. Now, you know, hopefully you've thought about things in your practice, right, where you know that, listen, if somebody asks me to do this, you know, the answer is no. That's an immediate out of bounds. And, you know, you could have that thought process, think about things ethically, you know, that would kind of be out of bounds and things like that. But in this context right here, I'll give you a great example, and I'm sure many of you have been faced with this too. One thing that's out of bounds with me is I will not send a proposal to someone unless, number one, we've had an opportunity to speak. Now, I don't mean just, hi, okay, we've spoken, hey, oh yeah, how are the kids? I don't mean that. I mean where I've been able to do a needs analysis and be a good doctor, right? And we love to beat up that analogy. I'm sorry about that, but what the hell? And the second thing is, we're going to need to get back on the phone or meet again to review that proposal with you. So if you're not going to take the time to speak with me and allow me to be a like a good doctor here and not just like say, oh yeah, sounds like appendicitis, it'll be $25,000, right? I mean, that'd be like malpractice, right? Well, this would be sales malpractice. And if you're not going to take the time to review the proposal that I've prepared for you, I'm not going to do it. So let's just very quickly, I'm sure I don't need to tell you why I won't do that. Again, I want to be very clear. This is not an episode, hey, let's be difficult. Let's burn bridges. Let's be an asshole. No. This is about saving your time. Because here's what I found, and feel free to call me out on this. I mean, you know, I'm a humble student too here, folks. But I have found that when people aren't willing to have a conversation with me, aren't willing to at least allow me to talk them through the proposal, they're not serious about it. And this is a waste of my time. And I'm not going to be nice about it. It is a waste of my time. You know, I'm not in the business of writing proposals for the sake of it. I find that when we come across these things, they're shopping and I just it's really a drag for me. I don't want to talk to people who want to play, you know, Paul's training emporium and try to go for best price. I just don't have the time for that. It's out of bounds for me. Again, you don't have to agree with it. I'm just giving you an example of something I do. So in a case like this, what am I going to do? So I'm going to say, you know, unfortunately, I can't generate a proposal if you can't invest a few minutes for us to chat. But if you reconsider, I want you to know that I'd really love to discuss this project with you. Again, that's kind of the gist. So again, I'll say, unfortunately, I can't generate a proposal unless we've had an opportunity to really talk through this. It's really not going to take long. If you can't invest a few minutes, then unfortunately, I can't do this. But I'll tell you what, if at any point you reconsider, I'd really like to discuss this with you. Again, I really want to throw that phrase in there. It's important that they understand because I may have attacked their ego when I said I won't do this. And I don't want that to really play into it. So I want them to see that I really would like an opportunity to work with you. I really would like to speak with you. But unfortunately, the way you've laid it out, it just really is not something that I can do. And again, if you notice, there's a common thread here. I'm getting in and I'm getting out. I'm not throwing a lot of words at people, even explaining it to you guys, right? I'm kind of over-explaining it here on the podcast. There's not a lot that I'm saying. And by the way, just quick, like, tangent here. Uncle Paul, I'm going to have, like, theme music and an announcer whenever I'm going on a tangent like this. But I feel the same way about handling an objection. Whenever I am coaching one of my clients and we're going over objections, and sometimes we'll role play depending on how much they give me. Sometimes I'll dress up as like a chick and, no, I'm kidding. I don't do that kind of role playing. Not anymore. I'm, you know, no longer at that. I was kind of young and needed the money stuff, but seriously. And when people are answering an objection, they're offering a rebuttal. Sometimes out of nervousness, we tend to overtalk something and overexplain something. First of all, that makes people more suspicious when you do that. Secondly, you are giving them more to take from and use against you. So to me, less is more. Get in, get out. You're like guerrilla warfare here. So that's kind of the gist of what I wanted to talk to you about today. Saying no to people is not a horrible thing. Time and place, right? Circumstances, whatever. So I want to leave you with a few questions and a thought and just a quick announcement. But where can you say more? And what are some opportunities where you can say no more often? I want you to think about business, and I want you to think about your personal life, which... you know, I mean, I know everybody these days is not only busy, but I find that people love to like wear their busyness as like this red badge of courage and brag about how busy they are. I don't like to brag about how busy I am because, yeah, from a business point of view, I'm very grateful because it means that, you know, two kids in college, I'm paying the bills and we have income coming in and keeping Mrs. Uncle Paul real happy. But when I don't like it when I feel like I'm in constant response mode in life, where I'm always responding and people are always taking my time from me. So I like to be very, very, you know, good with my balance. But I know people who not only are they busy at work, but they're really heavy into like volunteering and you know, heading up different types of things like charity for some. Other people, it's just, you know, they're passionate about a particular hobby and they're donating some time or whatever it is. And but there are some people that I know. I mean, and who knows? I don't know you, but maybe you're one of these people. I see some people who absolutely get miserable with it. It's like, oh, geez, man, I really want to be doing this, but I got this damn thing over, you know, at this place or whatever, or I got to do this over at that place, and I've got rehearsal for this thing or whatever, and they are miserable. And to me, the moment things start getting like that, I mean, I've got enough things that irritate me. I don't need to have things that I'm passionate about become another thing on that list. So to me, when I get to that place, I got to really start thinking about whether or not I want to continue doing that. So, you know, that's another area where you might have to say no. You might really, in an ideal world, if you had more time, you might really love doing that thing that you love. But because you don't have the time, and maybe your life is a little complicated right now, maybe it's not the best thing for right now, so perhaps you have to get better at that. So I want you to also premeditate how you could say no in a way where you hold your ground, but you do it professionally and help the other person to leave that interaction with their ego and their dignity intact. So I really want you to think about that. And, you know, I want to leave you with a thought that, in a way, may sound like it's going to contradict everything that I just told you. And in certain circumstances, it's going to. Because I don't know that we can deal. I feel like I'm quoting Star Wars now, like I'm talking about the Sith, right? Like, we can deal in these, like, absolutes. I really am kind of getting into like a Star Wars mode. I had that phase on my blog a few years ago, and it might be happening again with all these damn Star Wars things coming out. So I apologize, but I'm still going to go with it. But anyway, you know, we have to be flexible, and we have to know time and place. There's going to be times where, from a time management perspective, it makes every bit of sense to say no. But from a human standpoint, well, makes sense to say yes. So I want to give you an example of this. I was reading a book, great book, by the way, another book that I want to reread, because I kind of whipped through it pretty quickly a few years ago, like when I took on a new position. I was like, I don't know if you guys ever heard of the term, it's called hyperlearning. And I was just kind of like going through things very, very quickly to learn a particular skill. And a really cool book by Todd Duncan called Time Traps, I believe is the name of the book. Todd Duncan, Time Traps. So he goes on talking about all these things that kind of suck your time away from you, and remedies and cures and suggestions and tips and tricks and tactics and all that kind of good stuff. So he spends the entire book doing that. And then, I'm not going to quote him, but I'm going to give you the gist of what he says. So at the very end of the book, he says something along the line. So here I've given you all these ideas on how to save your time and all this kind of stuff. And he said something along the lines of, and here I am with a tight deadline. I have to get this to the editor. I really should have gotten it to them, you know, days ago. And my little girl has just come in and asked me if I could go to the park with her. And he said, you know, what do you think I'm going to say to her? And, you know, he made the right move. So I don't want you to be so into protecting your time that you miss out on things that are very, very important, the real important things. But I do believe that something happens to salespeople, and I want you to really pay attention to this, because I think it really speaks to all of us. Part of why we love being in sales is that we like being in control of our destiny. Is that a fair statement? That we like controlling our income and our outcomes and how we spend our time, where we spend our time, with whom we spend our time. And the real disconnect begins when we feel we've lost control of our time, that we're in constant response mode. We don't have time to go out and get new business and do some of the things that we want to do. And that's a horrible feeling for us as salespeople, because remember, we want the control. We want to feel like we're in control. And yet, we feel that everyone else is controlling our time. So what I'm inviting you to do is just consider this. This should be a tool in the toolbox. Not appropriate in every situation, but I also want you to resist your urge to say, I could never do that. Because, you know, up until really about 2 to 3 years ago, I said yes way too many times. I remember, especially when I first started with this personal branding stuff that I was doing, building the Castain brand. I mean, anybody who needed advice, I was getting on a phone call, wanted to bounce an idea. Yeah, let's get on the call. You know, I just felt horrible if I said no. Now I have to say no, because I have a lot of people who are depending on me. And my clients have to come first. So I can't continue to just give away my time and spend it in any old way. And also, too, I have to weigh things out and do the most important things possible. I can't screw somebody else over because I'm in an unnecessary meeting. So I want you to think about it. Also, too, as always, if you want to share any thoughts with me, you can do one of two things. You could either stop by yoursalesplaybook.com/140, because this is episode 140. Leave some comments in the comment section. You can certainly shoot me an email, because I always love to hear from you guys, paul@yoursalesplaybook.com. And before you go, I also need for you to consider one last thing. And I'm sorry if I keep reminding you, but I know many of you are listening in the car and you're on the go. And if you're like me, you have great intentions, but then all of a sudden another idea, another shiny object pops up, and then you're like, oh, geez, I was supposed to do that like a week ago. But we're about 1 week out from a really cool webinar that we're going to be doing, and it's called How to Close More Business. We're going to be doing this on February the 4th, 11:30 a.m. Eastern Time, and hopefully by now, you know how I roll with this, because you might be saying, oh, man, why can't you do this on the 5th, or if you did it on the 7th, I can make it, or if you did it at 2 o'clock. If that day and time doesn't work for you, I want you to sign up anyway. Not to donate to the Castain Foundation here, but because I deliver it live, and then I send out a recording. So it really doesn't matter if you can't make it in the moment. And I'm certainly going to answer any questions you have. So you can attend via the recording in your favorite chair. And if you have any questions, you shoot me an email. I'm not going to turn my back on you. You just paid me, dude. So anyway, please stop by yoursalesplaybook.com/close more. And with that, I am Paul Castain from yoursalesplaybook.com. I am wishing you an incredible week ahead. Go get them. The Sales Playbook Podcast is a Castain Training Systems production.